This is our last week talking about intentional worship. Next week, we're going to start looking at various dreams in the Bible, and along the way, we'll share some about our dreams as people and as a church community. Last week, we talked about how Scripture is God-breathed. All of Scripture is God-breathed, that somehow reveals a part of God's innermost being, and that all of Scripture is useful for salvation, for truth, for tearing us down and standing us back up again. And it is useful for right relationships. And we heard how Jesus is to Scripture what the sun is to our solar system, that everything is affected by him. Some things from the Old Testament get confirmed in their orbits. Some things find their endpoint, their destination in him, their fulfillment in him. And some things get sent off in an unexpected direction, just like Comet Lovejoy. This week is Music Dedication Sunday. We're going to talk about the role that music plays in our worship. Marshall McLuhan coined the phrase, "The medium is the message." And so this week, we're mostly letting music be the medium for the message, but I'll still walk us through a little bit of what Scripture says about the role and power of music in our worship. Our first reading today, we heard that Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn after celebrating the Last Supper. So we know that Jesus sang. Now, the Greek is a little ambiguous about whether he was a tenor, a baritone, or a bass, one of the great mysteries of the faith. In our second reading, we'll see how David, and this is when he's a shepherd, he's not the king yet, but King Saul sought him out for his incredible musical ability. At this point, Saul is not well physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And his last-ditch hope is to find the person who can play the right music to finally give him some peace. And that's where we pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." I like how that's at the end. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey, loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul, entered his servants, and Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." And whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, the year was 1990, and as summer approached, I was getting really excited. The end of the school year meant more freedom. It meant more time with the neighborhood pack of boys, and I was gearing up for something truly incredible, very exciting. Do you know what it was? No? Neither do I. I don't remember what I did in the summer of 1990, but I can tell you what I was listening to on the radio. Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined your black tie affair. Garth Brooks, "I've Got Friends in Low Places," forever etched upon my mind, unlike whatever I did in the summer of 1990. Now, I bet that, like me, there are some swaths of your childhood that you don't remember the specifics very well, but if I started to play a song or sing a song from that era, you would know it immediately. And that's because music, more than almost anything else, sticks with us. I can still remember part of Hamlet's famous soliloquy, "To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take up arms against a sea of troubles." And I don't remember past that. But I have hundreds of songs stored up here. Even songs that I would desperately like to forget, they are up here. A fate far worse than Hamlet's, I believe. Music sticks with us. Now, to prove it, let me ask you this. You don't have to answer aloud, just in your head. Do you know more lines from sermons you've heard or more lines from hymns? You don't have to answer that. Music sticks with us. And perhaps because it sticks with us, music also changes us. Martin Luther said, "The devil flees before the sound of music almost as much as before the word of God." That's pretty much what King Saul is looking for in our text today. He is overcome by an evil spirit, and his last hope is that the right music will finally drive out that spirit and leave space for a better one. He knows that music changes us. Unfortunately for David, it does not always work. Saul gets in the habit of occasionally lobbing a spear at him while he's playing. So either David's lyre has a shield on it, or he's got the reflexes of a cat. Don't worry, Susan, I didn't bring my collection of spears today. You're safe. Actually, my favorite quote, though, about the power of music comes from Dumbledore in Harry Potter. Even at Hogwarts, the school for wizards, Dumbledore says that music is a magic beyond all that we do here. Music changes us. Now, if you prefer science instead of fantasy, scientists have actually measured what babies can hear in the womb. I want to know who they got to sign up for that study. But they were shocked at the results. Babies can hear very, very well, even before they can see. It is kind of dark in there, after all. But they actually react to the voice of their mother. They react to certain music that makes its way into the womb. And on the other end of the spectrum, they've actually had success treating Alzheimer's and stroke patients with music therapy. Many times, music can punch through the haze that is in the brain more than anything else. Music changes us. What song has stuck with you and even changed you? My dad, my brother, and I went to a Promise Keepers conference as a men's conference many years ago in Dallas, and the old stadium in Dallas had a hole in the roof. Now, the legend is that that was left there so that God can watch the Cowboys play. I think it's actually to save the owner, Jerry Jones, a little bit of money. But either way, God used the hole in the roof of that stadium on this particular day. As my dad, my brother, and I were walking toward the stadium, we heard this low rumble in the distance. And it got louder as we came closer to the stadium. Eventually, as it got louder and clearer, we realized it was the sound of thousands of Christian men singing together. And the sound spilled out of that hole in the roof and blanketed the neighborhoods around the stadium for several blocks. And I still remember the very first song we sang, where my dad, my brother, and I could join our voices to that gathering of men, the very first song we sang, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing." Still gives me chills to this day to think about that. What song has stuck with you and even changed you? As King Saul knew and David demonstrated, music changes us. But music also can sometimes say what we can't with words. A psychologist wrote, "Music is something magical. It's a salve for all of life's emotional wounds, and I would be remiss in talking about coping techniques if I didn't talk about music." There are times when we do not have the words to say, when we have, in the words of Romans 8, groans too deep for words, when our emotions cannot merely be said, they must be sung or played. I remember a scene from the movie Serenity, and in this scene, the main character's hopes and dreams and beliefs, they're all shattered in one act of betrayal, and it's captured on screen. And in this scene, it's just a shot of the soulless look on the main character's face as haunting, muted music plays in the background. If there had been any dialogue, it would have cheapened that scene. Because sometimes music says what we can't put into words. Of course, it can go the other way, too. Sometimes the right rhythm, the right beat, the right chords, the right lyrics do a much better job of expressing our joy, not just our pain. Sometimes great and fantastic and superlative just don't cover it. Music can say what we can't. Sisters and brothers, music sticks with us far more than my sermons do. I can admit that. Music changes us with a magic greater than Hogwarts. Music expresses our feelings far better than mere words. So what music are you filling yourself with this week? Whatever it is, it's going to stick with you. It's going to change you. That's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity. Amen.